Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region Number 6. Today is March the 28th, 2019. It is a Thursday. I have a live show for you today. Looking forward to that. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to reach us. And we'd love to hear from you today. We have a live show for you today. And today's live show, let me get set up here, is going to be, first off, what's up, Pastor Pete? How you doing? Pastor Pete is here in studio. Real, real good. And so looking forward, we got a lot of stuff to do today, Pete. And I think today's show is going to be real good, but then we got to
okay, today I want to do something too.
Okay.
It's a special day. So I want to give a shout out to one of my favorite sons, and it's his birthday today.
My man.
So I want to wish him a and like I said, he's one of my favorites. So.
Yeah, one of your favorites,
one of my favorites,
without saying any names, right? But it's definitely big shout out to Happy Born Day. So special situation there. So we'll be looking at that privately. Anyway, Keithan, hey man, what's happening? You you got all shined up. You got a nice little fresh cut up there, huh?
Do that every day though.
Yeah, but I guess you the head shine gear on it.
I don't know, man. It'd be like that commercial with that hotel commercial, bada bing, bada boom. It says he glow and then nobody glows. Hey, about that,
my man. Yeah, so definitely. But today's show is going to be a very important one. Today's topic of today's show will be: with lost credibility goes a fallen empire. With lost credibility goes a fallen empire. That's going to be
credibility?
With lost credibility goes a fallen empire.
Yes.
It's very, very true. And so that's what's unfolding as we speak right now. And that's what today's show, topic of today's show will be. But before we do that, everyone, please support the network. Go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com and hit the donation prompt that's there. Give a donation, but the best way to support this station so that we can remain on air is for you to actually become a member inside of a social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. And very important, because they will never sell your identity, and you can actually monetize it by promoting yourself, your business, other businesses, and actually engaging in conversations that are not going to be as adversely affecting you as they would be on Facebook and the other platforms. for a membership of only $24 a year annually, one time, $24 per year. You can engage in all of that social media activity that you do on the other platforms, but they don't support BTR, Black Talk Radio Network, but this is a way for you to do that and so that it can stay in existence, okay? Also, everyone, if you would like to acquire real money, go to Prosperity Mint, ProsperityMint.com. Check out what's in inventory there, then email info@prosperitymint.com. Say, hey, I'm a Tando Radio Show listener, and Dave sent me, so they can contact you and explain the overall buying process to you. It's to your benefit. It won't be used for sales, calls, or anything else, but you have to know the proper way of acquiring precious metals. So that's the only thing that's going to be done there. They'll explain it to you before you engage in that overall transaction. All right, so with that being said, we're going to jump into today's show. Let me just do a couple of things real quickly before we jump into that. One second, and then we'll get into what's in the news so that I can see who's on the board. Let me just do this. If you are calling today, just say excuse me once you get in, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056, because I won't be able to look at the board. And so, but just say excuse me if you call in, you would like to say something. Just say excuse me. Well, let me check this. Let me have the board up, because if I don't, someone may come in a little bit later and not hear that overall advisement. Okay, so you ready to go, Keith?
I am.
I see you are. What level are you on right now?
I don't have time to look.
Yep. All right, so one sec. Let me get set up here again, and we're good to go. And so we're going to jump into what's in the news. And I think today, it's things are really, really
coming to a head.
Yeah, they really are. Well, the phases of what's potentially to happen next is so great. And I'm going to get into that, but let's get into first, let me get into what's in the news, and then we can get into that. But yes, they definitely are. Okay, so we're going to get into today's show. With lost credibility goes a fallen empire. That's today's show. First article we got from Press TV. Israel launches air raid on Syria's Aleppo. The Syrian air defenses systems have responded to multiple missiles fired by Israel's jets on the northwest city of Aleppo, intercepting the majority of them, according to the Syrian media. The Israeli regime launched an attack on Aleppo at around 11 p.m. Last night. This whole thing in that area with the Golan Heights, that's the real, real, real defined step towards all-out global World War III that turns into global nuclear war one. And the thing about it is it has to happen to where Syria will be able to effectively and efficiently defend itself and bring about real, real catastrophic damage to Israel. And I think that is coming to a head real, real soon with the help of Iran as well. And that blows that whole situation up there. It doesn't blow the situation up there if Israel is able to maintain what they were able to do in the past. Because if Israel is able to maintain what has been done in the past in that area, Israel has been aggressively attacking all of these countries. Syria, have attacked the Palestinians and everything else for many years now, and it hasn't. It's just been steps towards escalation. There won't be any real escalation until there's a meaningful response to Israel's aggression. Once that happens, that overall dynamic is being set forth right now. And I anticipate that blowing up pretty soon. Next article from RT International.
I got an interesting point in that, too. And I was reading an article, and it doesn't really have to do with that, but I just thought it was interesting that they were saying for the first time in the United States, the public has reached a 50% margin in which most Americans are for a Palestinian state.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the fact that, you know, and they would expect that to increase dramatically if the media covered what the situation was truly like over there. But they were saying that, you know, the media has covered that up, blacked it out for so long. But as people are finding out, that the Americans are against what's going on in Israel. That's the first time that that has ever happened. I just thought that was interesting.
No, it's huge. It's a huge situation. And see, that's the thing, is that the domestication that's here is very deep, very, very deep. And a lot of that domestication is built off of ignorance.
Absolutely. And I also think, along the same lines, but different again, is I think it's getting to be very profound that if people will look to see what's going on, like, and it goes back to what you were talking about, trying to put a combination of two different things here. You started the show and you were talking about the loss of credibility is the loss of
what's today's show? The name of today's show. One second, Keith, because I want to say it correctly. Let me just go back here. Here we go. The loss of credibility goes a fallen nation.
With the loss of
credibility goes a fallen empire. Sorry, a fallen empire.
Right. And the first word that came to mind when you read that title was irrelevant. You know, we are becoming irrelevant.
Yeah.
But in the process of us becoming irrelevant, which I think tie all these three things together in my mind, which I think is interesting, is not only are we irrelevant, but at the same token, you get to see things that are so profoundly blatant, not only outside the country, but inside the country.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, so now we reach a percentage where over 50% of the people are pro-Palestinian state.
Yeah.
The college educated is even higher than that. And with minorities, it's higher than that. Okay.
Right.
So as we move to this pro-Palestinian state, at the same token, what is the country doing? The country is trying to take steps to enact Israel to the capital. Forget what everybody else says. This is what we're doing.
Right, right.
And by the same token, you see something else. And this is so profound.
It's not following the will of the people.
Exactly.
The policies aren't following the
will
of the people.
Exactly. But not only are they not following them, it's getting to be so profound. So right next to that, we have to look at what's going on with our health care.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest issue in this last election was health care.
Yes.
So 70% of the people plus are interested in health care in America. And Donald Trump, that president administration is taking bold steps.
That is Donald Trump.
Okay. They're taking bold steps, as we now, to do away with quote unquote Obamacare. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because now you got massive majority for some certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And the government's like, you know what? Bump you. We don't give a flying flip what you guys want, what you guys think, what you guys want to do.
This is what you'll take.
This is what we're doing.
This is what you'll take.
Yeah.
And this is why that whole, it's a facade. It sounds good on paper, but it don't work. It is how to keep people in line and giving their energy to something that don't work. And that's really, really what's happening there. And Keith, that is so strategically significant in today's world, because what that really entails and how that plays itself out, in my opinion, is going to be very, very significant. And it's really a war, because one of the things, and we're going to get into it today's show, we'll come back to it, is not only has the U.S. lost credibility, but it's lost punking power. And that's very significant. And I don't want to go too much in it, because that's going to be a part of today's show.
Right.
And we're going to go into that. And you all know exactly what I mean when I say, you know, When Debo can't take nobody's bite no more, what does the community do? Everybody that Debo has already has punked,
they come back.
They come back and say, you know what, Debo?
This is for
this is for this, and this is mine.
Debo, remember last week when you slapped me upside my head?
Right.
This is for.
Yeah, and it's real, and it's that's what's, and I think that's, you know, really some of the things that's going to be prevalent and start to play itself out. Debo is done. So check out that article. Next article. This one comes from RT International. Russia must get out of Venezuela. All options open, celebrity figurehead Donald Trump said. U.S. President Donald Trump has warned that Russia must get out of Venezuela. The two plane loads of Russian troops are currently in the Latin American country under the terms of a 2001 cooperation treaty. Speaking at the White House, Trump also warned that all options are open when it comes to getting Russia out of Venezuela. So check out that. We're definitely going to take a look at that today. Next article, this one's from Sputnik News. Putin aide responds to Trump's demand on Russian military in Venezuela. A group of Russian military personnel arrived in Venezuela's capital, Caracas, on Saturday to take part in consulting with the government officials in a bilateral defense industry cooperation. Let the United States fulfill its obligations in Syria, but they shouldn't worry about it here. So they basically was telling them, get out of Syria. Before you talk about anybody other country, get out of Syria first. So check out that. Next article, Rise posted a YouTube video. I don't know who the individual is. It says, Russian S-300 system arrives in Venezuela, and Trump tells Russia to get out or else. So, yeah, we've been talking about that system, and believe me, I think it's going to be much, much more. And we talked about on Tuesday, last time we were on the show, the significance of the S-300-400 that I think system that's going to be there and how that impacts this hemisphere and the demise of the U.S.
So let me ask you something. Out of the wisdom of David.
No, don't say that. There is no such thing.
Again, because we've talked about this before, it is not rocket science that we are powerless against that system.
Who's we, Chief?
The United States. I apologize. They're powerless against us. As a matter of fact, they're powerless pretty much military at this point.
Yeah.
That's not rocket science. Right. Now, I'm not in military intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in military intelligence, but we know these things.
Yeah.
All right. So with us knowing this, you know, it's kind of like me climbing a boxing ring with two broken hands and talking smack. Where do you think that's coming from?
My opinion of where it's coming from? I think it's the old proverbial, you know, when you're the minions of a system, and we have a lot of minions of the system, the minions are the people you see on TV, are the people that give speeches, that give press releases, that give, that their overall voice is carried through the overall sacred airwaves of the media, right? These are all minions. And one of the things about being a minion is that these individuals actually do believe the garbage that they're pushing. And so what happens is that, Keith, is that, in my opinion, is that the controllers tell owners what to do. And so the controllers relay information to the owners as to what they're going to be doing, and then the owners say yes, because the owners now actually try to momentumize that overall agenda through their employees or their subjects. So where this is coming from is that when you're – I've said this before. You have a lot of people that are inebriated in the wine of splendor. So because of that, and what I mean, they're drunk and the lifestyle that they now have, and they think that they are actually
immune
or better or are more relevant, more significant. More, it's a status. It's really a caste system. In this caste system, you need fools. You really need fools, and those individuals are there to try to to methodize and to get things done that the system really needs to in order to survive. And they don't even know that they're going to be the ones that will be the sacrifice, because they're the celebrity spokesperson. They're the figurehead. People see them, and people know them.
Okay, and I can understand that. Where I have trouble is, I don't want to even say that. Where I have trouble, though, is this information that we have, that we, I started this conversation with.
Yes.
This information is no longer hidden. I can understand that 3 years ago.
Yes.
Because people were in the dark. But at this point in time,
yes,
they've got to have access to that information.
Oh, sure they do. Sure they do. And then they're being, they possibly are given a placebo effect. You know, the placebo effect, and you talked about the, well, they say, well, we have this system. And they're told that this system is the most state of the art. It works in here. See, they don't know that we could do this. And is it true? Mike Tyson said it best. You can plan and train for a boxing match and have all the tactical plans and strategies that you're going to employ. But once you get in the ring and you get hit, all of that tactical planning goes out the window. And that was an old, and Mike got that from an old general, I think it was unnamed. And basically what he said, all tactical planning goes out the window the moment you meet the enemy. Meaning, whatever you have and whatever you thought you could do, once you get into that fight, it can go anywhere. And so in this instance, I think that those the information and people think that they're able to do something that they possibly aren't able to do. And we won't really know, Keith, until the fight actually happens. And I will say this. It really doesn't matter if the U.S. empire stands or falls. The system is not going to. So even if the U.S. does get engaged in war with Russia and China and they win, guess who's going to be the burden bearers of that war? The people, the true targets. So it doesn't matter if Russia and China win. It won't matter if the U.S. wins. The people are going to lose. And this process of the people losing is that the scale of it is going to get greater and greater and greater and greater. And so, very important. You know, I was talking to Roz yesterday, and in talking to Roz yesterday, said something about, and Roz had brought up the events that happened in New York on 9/11. And we were talking, and it really hit me. It really hit me, and I wanted to make this point today. It really, really hit me. Let me show you the speed, the speed at which everyone here in the States is really controlled under. Let me show you the speed in which how things can change dramatically. On September 11th, 5 minutes before the plane, or 5 minutes before the events happened in New York City, regardless of the with the World Trade Center, regardless if you believe in the overall theory that a tin can went through a steel building and brought it down, being a plane, whatever your overall beliefs are, 5 minutes before that, your lives were one way. 5 minutes after that, your life has been changing ever since that, and it happened just that quick. So in today's world, remember when Z-Big said that it in the past it was infinitely easier to control a million people than it was to kill a million people. Now it's infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control them. But I would say that he was saying that in part and parcel, but that's not really true. It's very, very easy to control billions of people. And how they do it is through the sacred airwaves of the media. And so now, I want you to think about this. If think about how quickly everyone's lives changed, especially in the United States, right? Once that event happened in New York, how long did it take for that to happen? In a snap of a finger. So the events that we're going to start to see, and if you're not prepared for them, they're going to run you right over, because they're going to change the dynamic and the scope of everything that fast. So when people look for, see, the bad thing is that people are looking for a major event. It doesn't take a major event to control people and to actually kill millions, hundreds of millions of people. It doesn't take you know, a series of events. It takes seconds to do it in today's world. It takes minutes to do it.
Well, and that's not new, you know.
No,
you can do the same thing with looking back with Hiroshima.
Yeah,
you know, just like that, everything changed immediately.
Sure,
you know.
Sure. So this is why it's so important to be prepared, because when we don't look at it from a historical measure of truth of the past events to give us an idea of what's coming next, there's going to be major events that happen that are going to change everything right away. Remember, that happened within hours, within less than an hour. Commerce in the United States was slowed. The next event is going to be stopped within an hour.
Stopped.
On every level. And this is why this stuff is so important. So, we'll get back to that. Let me get to what's in the news. So, next article you see here. Next article. This one comes from Axis. Will the yield curve lead to recession? It's really different this time. Check out that. 10-year U.S. Treasury note fell below the 3-month mark on Friday for the first time since 2007. Check out that. Next article from RT International. Running countries like a business, Trump calls Venezuela a company. But is this a futile slip? No. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. Attack on Venezuelan dam carried out with the use of sniper rifles, Maduro said. Check out that article. I think it was multifaceted. The snipers and a cyber attack as well. Next article from Press TV. Trump's Golan move part of a criminal project, Syria has said. Very, very true. Next article from Reuters. Russian troops arrive in Venezuela. So we'll take a look at that. Next article from RT International. Space war between the United States and Russia will trap humanity on Earth, no matter who wins. That's so true.
Say that again.
Space war between the U.S. and Russia will trap humanity on Earth, no matter who wins. That's absolutely true. They're telling you what's coming. That is so true.
So
that was just really reference to what I was just saying. It doesn't matter now. It's the overall control and depopulation
domination.
Because people are starting to do what? They are starting to resist the system. And the system can never have resistance, because the system can't withstand a formal resistance, a formalized, organized resistance in any form or fashion, because it's just that fragile. Okay, Keith, I was cutting you off.
No, just sum up the words basically. What you're saying is global domination.
Global domination. Space war between the U.S. and Russia will trap humanity on Earth. So true. Doesn't matter. And this is why we got to get out of allowing ourselves to be pawns. To be pawns.
Okay, so I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're saying that it doesn't matter, the system's going to win, what are the people supposed to do?
No, I said the system will win because only because it can't, it has to have division. It has to have nationalistic divide. It has to have borders. It has to have the spirit of, I mean, the letter of the law. It has to have all of these rules of engagement that everyone plays by. If you play by their rules, they will rule. The moment humanity decides that this isn't going to work anymore, they're not going to play, allow that to happen in their overall lives. They're not going to play by these rules anymore. The moment they do that, the system is already lost. And the momentum now swings the other way.
Okay. So in order that to happen, though, I said the other system was global domination.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to stop that, you will have to have global organization in disruption.
And I would say disruption, yes. But it's probably not in the same way that you may be saying it. When I say disruption, by merely not participating is the most disruptive thing ever.
But the problem with that is, in the age of technology, how do you not participate? And I suppose the first step would be one of the things you talked about. You'd have to get off Facebook, you have to get off the social media. But even with that, they have such powerful weapons on their behalf to control things. Again, you'd have to have a massive organization to bring all the people to revolution.
See, I don't think revolution is never the solution. It never has been and never will be. What it does is that there's a petition for revolution. And then the system likes to look at, see, it sounds good, but how many revolutions and how much has changed? Nothing has changed. So if we continue to do the same things over and over again and think that we're going to somehow do something different but do the same thing, it's never going to work. A revolution is not the solution. What is the only solution, in my opinion, is you have to take away what they want. What is it and what the system needs? What is the system dependent upon? It's dependent upon two things.
Energy.
It's dependent upon obedience and energy. And the most important one of that is the energy. If you remove the energy source for anything, it dies. So we can't participate. By not participating is the most effective way to change. Now, is that going to bring about some real changes in everyone's everyday form of living and everything else? Yes. But see, you had to learn to be dysfunctional so you can learn how to be functional again as well. Just as you've learned to be dysfunctional, it was a path, and it was a will, and it was a directive. Until you start to put your energy in somewhere in another direction, you'll never get to an arrived destination. So it has to happen. The most effective way is for people to not to participate and start to build something that is more representative of what your moral absolutes are. And everyone's moral absolutes are different. They're very, very much different. But if we continue to live by the system's moral absolutes, we will continue to get what we have right now. It won't change. It doesn't matter if they put this face on it, this religion on it, if they put this political group, this racial group. It doesn't matter if they put this flag or they put this border on it. It doesn't matter what scheme and gimmick they come up with, it will all lead to the same road of destruction for humanity. Because that's what this is really all about. It's so for me, Keith, that is what is really, really necessary, in my opinion, for things to really make a meaningful change. Think about our past. Look at all of the past. And some people say, well, we've made great strides. Have you really?
Who is we?
No, I'm just saying, when I say people will look and say that there's been great strides that have been made. Have any accomplishments really been made?
No, I think ultimately
I think he does not. Is we have gone way back, because let's take enslavement.
That's what I was going to say.
Let's take enslavement for an example. The plant. See, we've been taught that slavery looks a certain way, so that you won't know what it really is.
Absolutely.
Enslavement is nothing more than one person having two lives, and the person that gives up their life doesn't have one anymore. So, and how does that happen? It happens because of energy. Where someone can get your energy to fulfill their objectives and their agenda, they have two lives and you have none. Because what should your energy be used for?
Well, whatever it is that you feel as though your energy should be used for.
It should be used for the benefit of who? You. Because whose energy is it? And that sounds so far-fetched to so many people. Because we've been so domesticated in certain things, we think that no, we got to have this system. It just needs to put us up on top now, because we've been on the bottom for so long. Well, then guess what? The system will do that. It will put you up on the in what perceives to be the top, but you won't have acquired anything, because they domesticate us to think, and schooled everyone to think, that freedom comes from them.
Well, and this has been a long time coming. As a matter of fact, I don't remember the mindset, but I remember in the, let's go there, early 1900s. And in some of these conversations, we have to bar the slavery thing. We have to bar the race thing. But, so in this case, I'm going to bar the race thing. I'm going to take the plight of people of color out of the history of this country,
mm-hmm.
just for the purpose of this point. But even then, if you looked at in the early 1900s, almost 90% of the people were self-sustained.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They were farmers, they did whatever, they made a living, however it was that they made a living. But if you approach the collapse in the 30s, you'll find that there was a massive movement from people being employed by somebody else.
Yeah.
And in order for a business to work, that means that whoever you're employing has got to be worth a greater value than what you're paying them.
Right, Keith. Yeah.
So when they had this move, a massive move, which is exactly what you're saying, this has been such a progressive plan put in place purposely for the long haul.
For the long, because the system plans things out 500 years in advance, while the ones that are under the system make plans for only 2 weeks to a month. One of the things I wrote, and this is the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Here it is, Keith. The letter of the law is penned, P-E-N-N-E-D, penned, meaning you've heard the old saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. And the pen is always scripted by who? Man. Okay? Only man. Right? The letter of the law is penned as a broken declaration, remissly to moral absolute, which spawns concessions and evil remedy for malfeasance. What does that mean? That means that the letter of the law is always written with the tail end for it to be a concession for evil remedy for those that have a malfeasant agenda. It's not written for your overall benefit. It's written as a measure of control for you to obey. So the letter of the law is penned. as a broken declaration, remissly to moral absolute, which spawns concession and evil remedy for malfeasance, while the true spirit of the law is granted. The key word there is granted. Think about it. The great creator granted you existence and had everything to sustain your existence already prepared for you. It was granted to you. As it was granted to you. Big difference than being penned, okay? While the true spirit of the law is granted as an inherent birthright for sustainable prosperity that is absent of civil fee and taxation. When was the last time the great creator sent you a bill for breathing air? When was the last time the great creator sent you a bill for your heart beating? When was the last time that you received notice that you have to file taxation for your existence from the great creator? It doesn't happen. And until we start to move into the granted and get out of the pen, it doesn't matter what your tactics will be. The system has already wrote it into existence, and they probably told you that this is what you should be doing through infiltration. So that's why I say revolution is never a solution. The only solution is for us to return to what's granted as a moral absolute. So that's that was just the point that I wanted to make there. Real quick, let's go on. Next article from RT International. Get out of Syria first. Moscow reacts to Trump's demand to leave Venezuela. Next article from Sputnik News. Watch people attack watch people attack the car of Venezuelan self-proclaimed President Guaido.
Say that again. Watch people attack.
From Sputnik News. Watch people attack the car of Venezuelan self-proclaimed President Guaido.
What people are they referring to?
In Venezuela. His car was attacked by people.
Oh, okay. They got a...
He got a video, yeah. He got a video of that there. And I said, boy, what did I say last week? I said, Guaido don't realize he's being set up. So, next article. This one is from Time Dispatch. And it was a nation unmade by war. A really good one. Next article. This one is from Reuters. The arrival of Russian military in Venezuela is a provocative. Excuse me. Move this up. By Pence. The arrival of two Russian Air Force planes containing nearly 100 troops in Venezuela last week was a provocation. U.S. celebrity figurehead Vice President Mike Pence said on Wednesday as the White House welcomed the wife of the opposition leader Juan Guaido to a visit. Check out that article. Next article. This one is from South Front. We're going to take a look at this one. The expanding global footprint of the U.S. Special Operation. The expanding global footprint of U.S. Special Operations. Next article from Sputnik News. Trump promises wife, Juan Guaido's wife, he'll fix the crisis in Venezuela. Next article from Sputnik News. U.S. to impose Venezuelan-like sanctions on Nicaragua, if necessary, celebrity figurehead Pompano said. Why is that necessary? Because Nicaragua is what? Right by the Panamanian Canal. Key thing in this whole war. Next article from RT International. U.S. decides on Golan Heights as a highway to war, a Russian spokesman says. It really is. Now, next article from Strategic Culture. Strategic Culture. Trump's foreign policy. Do whatever Netanyahu and Prince Solomon want. That's what they're saying. That's what Trump's foreign policy is. Next article from Yahoo. Venezuela blackout drags into a third day of Maduro announces load management. Now the overall blackout in Venezuela has expanded again. Why do you think? Next article from RT International. Why not give Israel North and South Carolina? A Syrian envoy asked the U.S. at the U.N. Why don't you just give Syria, why don't you just give Israel North and South Carolina? Man, that was a powerful, powerful statement.
Elaborate on that. What are they talking about?
Okay, so the Syrian ambassador has suggested that the U.S. hand a couple of its own states over to Israel instead of floundering international law and selling others' land with favors for the Israeli lobby.
Okay.
So like it did with the Golden House.
Dictate how we give away all our land once and once.
Well, you're going to try to dictate us giving away our land? No. Why don't you give away yours?
Right.
This is the overall loss of credibility for a fallen empire that leads to a fallen empire. Because why is Syria saying that now? Because Syria is about to engage in all-out war because they know that they have to and they have an opportunity to win. They know they're going to win. They know they're going to win. So pretty significant.
Well, and it's the same thing with what Russell was saying when they said, well, you know what? We don't want to go to war. But if you want to, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. If you want another Cuban Missile Crisis, then that's what you'll get. But this one, like I said before, on Tuesday, the Cuban Missile Crisis is nothing compared to what's happening in Venezuela. And before we go into the commercial break, we got some time before we go into the commercial break. I really just want to emphasize that. Real quickly, let me, Brother Davis is there. I want Brother Davis to get an opportunity to chime in. I thought I heard someone. So, yeah, it was Brother Davis. Brother Davis, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me, brother?
Yes. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
The other day when I called and I spoke about the Bacon's Rebellion, it's because of, to simplify what you were saying earlier, the Bacon's Rebellion was the rebellion in the United States of all of the people who were of the lesser class. Now, what did that mean? That meant white, blacks, Indians, all of those of the lesser class rebelled against that 1%. So what did they do? After they've been able to sustain a certain degree of control, they passed the law that allowed themselves to be separated. What was that? The white law. That's when white people came into being. Then they gave those white people benefits for being white. That separated them from those people who were in their class and made them think they were better. They gave them things like the right to bear arms, the right to have a slave. Although it didn't really enrich their lives, what it did was it separated them from the very people they were fighting with. And we have to understand that today, white people are still relishing in that law. And the sad part about it, and this is why I said the other day about the white people now who are being looked upon historically as being destroyers, are upset behind the fact that now they're being able to be hashtagged based on their history. They don't want that. The reality is that we as a people have to understand we are all in the same boat when you're not in the 1%. So therefore, regardless of how you position yourselves, you're stronger in numbers. But if you don't bring those numbers together, if you don't find areas of like-mindedness, the very thing that Baker's Rebellion was designed to do is going to work against us. Because we're going to see ourselves as separate instead of one in the same, humanity. And the sad part about that is that regardless of what they say separates you, whether it be color, whether it be money or whatever, those things are insignificant when it comes to life itself. These people have put us in a position where everything as we know as life has put us in danger. The world itself, through climate destruction, environmental destruction, mineral destruction. And see, the reason why I want you to understand this is because there's only four real attributes of life. There's minerals, human, what haven't they destroyed? I hope y'all picking up on this here. I just wanted to add, brother. Thank you very much.
Well said, Brother Davis. As always, and in time, Brother Davis, jump in. Always good to hear the voice of a friend. And so, you know, and that is, to me, the real, the leaderless movement, the will of the people can only ever be established when the overall bond to the system is completely broken. You have to walk away. You have to disengage that energy before you can even build anything else. And most people say, well, and when they think about that, people say that won't work, because what they've been schooled to think is that you have to work within the system. You've heard that before, right, Keith?
Absolutely.
You have to work within the system. Well, if you work within the system, that means you're a minion of that system. You can't exclude yourself from that. And if this is either something that is selfishly beneficial to you, or is something that you're completely against in all forms, shapes, and fashion. So, because I'm going to tell you, they will find what your price is, and they will give you the appearance that they paid it, and then they'll claw it back. They'll bring it right back to them. So definitely, well said, Brother Davis. So we're getting ready to get into today's show. Anytime, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number, okay? All right, so here we are. Man, Keith, how much time we got? We got plenty. Okay, so what's the start?
4 minutes.
We got 4 minutes. Okay, here we go. So what I want to do is I want you to hear what celebrity figurehead Trump said yesterday. Let me get this so Scotty can play it. I'm going to put it inside of, would like for Scotty just to play this real short. I want you to hear what celebrity figurehead Trump said yesterday. We put it in here. Scotty, get a chance. If you can't do it, that's okay, Scotty. I could do it from here. That's there. And so I want you to hear this, because all of this stuff really is very significant. Because there is a agenda that is being used and is actually being executed against humanity, against those that have energy that can be taken. The system is very keen to a person's will. And the key to it is that I think that it knows how strong and how violent. So what they try to do is they try to weaponize it. Anytime someone tries to weaponize that type of thing, that shows that they have a strong as a weapon.
Yo, Dave, I don't know if you can hear me. My system locking up from them videos, man.
Actually, people not to recognize the power of their will.
Hey, Dave.
To use that will for one thing and one thing to perpetuate the system. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't play that video.
Someone said, hey, Dave.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I got this, you, Scotty. Yeah, you said you could. By the organizer. Yeah, Scotty, I heard you. You said you couldn't play it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool.
The page is locking up my system.
I can play it on this side, or don't play it.
No, I'm saying it's locking up my system on this side. It's not a YouTube video. It's embedded in that Reuters, and it's locking me up right now, like disconnecting me from one of the conference lines.
Okay, cool. So we'll take care of that. So listen, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick this up, and then we're going to take a look at some things here that has happened, significant things yesterday. It's ramping up, and I'm going to tell you, just like the events that happened in New York in 2001 and how quickly that changed everyone's life, there are many events that's going to follow in that same pattern, and they're going to be even more impactful and at a much faster speed. They can change the dynamics of everything darn near within 10, 15, 20 minutes. 15 minutes. Well, I would say 3 minutes and a few seconds is all that they really need in today's world. That's significant. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Scotty, give me like 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'd love to hear from you. And so we're going to jump into today's show. Let me get set here. I had 1 second. Let me find this. Okay. So, all right. So I want to, let me see if I can. I may not be able to. Let me find this one. So I'm having trouble with what I wanted to. So let me go back to here. I wanted you to hear something that was significant when it came to One second. See if I can find this article. So what I'm, and I wanted it to be from the Reuters one because they carried something that was very significant in this. They had a video attachment and then now it's gone. Let me see. One sec. Is this it? And it's funny, Keith, just before the show started, I looked and I listened to it again. Now,
no, you can't find it.
Now it's gone. So, but that's all right. Let me just real quickly try one other thing. And all right, so may not be able to play that. Let me see if I can get this somewhere else. And it was very, very significant. And I wanted everyone to hear that one. So just bear with me, and I will get this one set up. So basically yesterday, celebrity figurehead Trump had a press release with Guaido's wife. And there were some things that he had said, and there was a Reuters commentary that was with it that was very, very good. And I'm going, this is nuts. How is it that I don't have that anymore? All right, so let me see if I can find this real quickly. And I was looking while we was in the break. We came back a little too early. Let me see something. All right, maybe I have it right here. All right, so. No, all right. So, not worried about that. I'm going to find it in another way. All right, so. One thing about live. You know, one thing about live radio is that, you know, these things happen. And let me tell you, it's when you're on live, it's not as easy as, you know, as just listening to everything. You know, it has to. This is why it's so important for us to support this network, Chief. And because if we don't, it's, you know, you can't do certain things. You got to have things done a certain way. And, you know, there's a cost to everything, and it's really something that we definitely need your support to be able to maintain this network. All right, so now I'm having real problems here. All right, so I'm not going to be able to have that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to YouTube and pull up this as a backup. And, you know, forgive me, y'all, we don't have a staff to do certain things. So you know, we got to do everything ourselves. You know, Scotty and I and every, you know, we got to do all this. So it's not something that you could just like on the major platforms. Hey, pull this up, pull that up. You know, someone you can't do that. You can't do that here. So you don't have a staff to do that. You know, other stations they have that because they have the overall funding that's needed to have. To have that go off. But we do the best that we can do here. So in the midst, I'm going to tell you, won't be able to have, let me see. And watch, as soon as the show ends, because I'll find it and say, oh, here it is right here. Daggone it.
Yeah, that's what it always works.
That's what it is. So, I'm going to not worry about it. And let me just try one more thing. Let me see if I put it here. I did. I need to find this one. No, it's a Reuters. Keep you on. Fill in some anything you got on your mind, real quick. No, oh, don't worry about it. We this is not that important. So let me just I'm gonna find this article for about Trump and his meeting with Guaido's daughter. I mean, wife yesterday. Oops. Yeah, I'm having a rough one today. One second, here we go. Okay, so let me just find this. And so let me, I would love to find, man, that daggone Reuters one was really good. But okay, here we go. This one is it's a 2-minute one. Let me just copy this, put it inside, and then I'll play it from right here. Okay, I want y'all to listen to this. Let me just set this up here. It's a, like 2 minutes. Let me just set it so you'll be able to hear it. Well, let me send it to Scotty. And this is a celebrity figurehead Trump. It's like 2 minutes long with Guaido's wife talking about Russia. I haven't heard this one. I just picked this up because the other one that I really wanted to play, I didn't have. But sent this to Scotty, and this is yesterday Trump said something about kicking.
Russia has to get out. All right, what's your next question?
Mr. President, are you thinking of increasing pressure on Venezuela, and how will you do that?
Say it.
Are you thinking of increasing pressure on Venezuela, and how will you do that?
Well, they've got a lot of pressure right now. They have no money, they have no oil, they have no nothing. They got plenty of pressure right now, so we'll see. They have no electricity, and other than military, you can't get any more pressure than they have. Unfortunately, a lot of people are starving. They don't take the aid. Maduro won't take aid. We've sent hundreds of millions of dollars worth of aid to the border. He won't take the aid. He'd rather have his people starve than take the aid. I don't think that's good, even from a political standpoint. Even from a dictator standpoint, I don't think that's good. But there's a lot of pressure on them right now. We'll see. All options are open. Just so you understand, all options are open. Venezuela was a country with tremendous potential and is still a country with tremendous potential. But people are starving, they're being killed, they're being beaten. What's going there is unfathomable to everybody that sees and everybody that gets reports. We're getting reports that are horrible. The potential of Venezuela, if done properly and with democracy, would be incredible. It was one of the richest companies, certainly one of the truly rich countries of the world, and now it's one of the poorest countries of the world. You look at what's happened. Despite oil, the oil's not coming out. Everything's broken. They have no water. They have no electric. The lights are out. In fact, I understand just today they had a big blackout. So we're very much in contact with your husband and with everybody else, and a lot of things are happening. Many things are happening.
Y queremos alertar al mundo de los posibles continuos atentados en contra del presidente Juan Guaidó, de la ola de represión y detenciones que ha tomado niveles agresivos contra el entorno del presidente. Atacar a su entorno es atacarlo a él.
This is America. You need to speak English when you hear.
You see, and you know what? Scotty did that because you see, and it's so true. See, when you're perpetuating their agenda, then they want you to interpret what you said so that will have relevance with the people. Right, Scotty. so true. Now, there was a couple of things that I wanted you all to take notice to it. He didn't. I don't think he made a mistake when he said Venezuela is a company. I don't think he made a mistake. He did.
He made a mistake. He spoke as a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
He told the truth, but he didn't mean to tell the truth.
Yeah, and exactly. But a couple of things. He said that the Russians have to get out of Venezuela. And he gave the list of things that are happening. And he said the only thing that's left is what? Military. So what did he just engage in? He said that he basically admitted that the U.S. is behind the economic demise of the country and is behind the lights being out. And he says, I understand that they had another blackout today. And the blackout that they're having right now is across, I think, is 97% of the country now. 97% of the country. They tell on themselves over and over and over again. And who is the U.S. to tell another country who their overall strategical partners should be in the fulfillment of those treaties? Go ahead, Keith.
Which is exactly why Germany's kicking out the ambassador.
Yep.
You know, it's that same reason. But when I heard that, the first thing I got was mad. Because when he's saying, well, look, and he said it, you know, he said it was a bad thing, but I got the feeling that he was talking like it was a good thing.
Yeah, it was. It's going to be more.
It's going to be more. He says, look.
Until you start taking the aid from us, yeah. Until you start to. Yes, go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry. I mean,
it just made me mad because I sit here listening. I mean, he's got like, you know what? The people are being beaten. They're starving. There's no water. There's no electricity. These people are dying en masse.
Mm-hmm. The killings and everything else, and how? Why is that happening? How did they get to? They used to be the richest. When they were the richest and everything else, is because they were under the overall doctrine control of the U.S. And as soon as they started, and when Chavez came in and nationalized the oil and everything else. Soon as they did that, that's when everything started going downhill for Venezuela because they wanted to be sovereign and say, no, we're going to do it the Venezuelan our way. We're not going to, you are? You're going to stop paying us? You're going to stop? This is our, he said the country is a company.
Hey, Dave, though, he was telling a lot of lies, though, man. You know, and those same lies will be repeated by Nancy Pelosi, and they'll be repeated by mainstream media. But it's not that many people over there being killed like they're trying to make it out to be. Now, there have been other journalists not based in the U.S. who have been going in there with cameras and exposing them for their lies, just like they tried to say, you know, that Maduro forces set that aid truck on fire when it was really one of their paid protesters that set it on fire when he was trying to throw a Molotov cocktail at somebody. And so, what else is new? We know this dude lying is like, you know, taking a breath of air, you know. I mean, just so many lies there. And then they'll have you think that their electricity is going off because the equipment is old and hasn't been maintained. That's some BS right there. Come on now.
Yeah, that's sabotage. Yeah, they're actually by way of cyber, the most effective way is by cyber attack and actually attacking the overall critical infrastructure that's exposed. They're attacking it. And why did this all come about? Is all a part of this whole thing? Yes, Scotty. So.
And he's
so,
such
so
a hypocrite, true. And so are the Democrats, and so are a lot of U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
You know, this dude just right now is saying, you know, there was no collusion and all this and that. And then on the other side, you got the Democrats saying he colluded and Russia interfered, but they both is interfering in Venezuela, you know, internal affairs. You know, Jimmy Carter once said that, and this was even during Chavez. Jimmy Carter went over there as an international election observer. And one time he said they had the most secure elections in the world because you had to have a thumbprint. to log in and make sure you're who you're supposed to be. That's sort of like, you know, that's even more strict than driver's license and stuff in these states in the United States. And then he said it also gave you a printout. How many of us get a printout that vote, that have with the vote? I've never gotten a printout.
Nope.
Okay?
Nope.
Never gotten a printout. You know, and one time, you know, when it was just strictly electronic voting and I was trying to vote for Ralph Nader, it flipped it to Bush, you know? And so now we got paper ballots, but I don't get to take a copy home. They ain't making me no copy, you know? So all of this is nothing but lies, man. And it's just history repeating itself over and over and over and over. And why is it they only attack, quote unquote, socialist countries, when you had these right-wing dictators down there actually murdering people? You think about Pinochet, and you were supporting that. American people just need to wake up to the beast that they live under.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's so true. Now, this is all part of the propaganda for this whole thing. And, you know, it was an article that I wanted to read to you all real quickly. And I want you to think about this, is that there's a huge difference between Venezuela and Syria with the United States. One, Syria never asked for the U.S. to invade its country. Venezuela asked, and by way of a treaty of a 2001 treaty between Russia and Venezuela, they asked them to be there. The elected government asked them to be there. And there's a huge difference, a huge, huge, huge difference. But not only is it a huge difference there, let me just, something real quick. There's an article. There's an article, and they told Russia to get out of Syria. Let me ask you something, Keith. How many forward bases does Russia have around the world? How many foreign bases are they building and expanding? You know, one of its only waterborne ports in the world is in Syria. So you can count on your hand pretty much the bases. But when you talk about the U.S., you know how many bases the U.S. has around the world?
We don't even know. As a matter of fact, we read an article not too long ago that said, you know, they came up with, what, almost 300 bases that didn't nobody know nothing about.
The U.S. has physical presence in over 70 nations. And of those nations, some would say that some asked the U.S. to be there, and some were by the twisting of their arms, say, you're going to have our bases here.
Right.
70 bases?
70 nations.
70 nations. And if you look on the continent of Africa, there's only a few that don't have U.S. military representation there. The others, they do. So with that being said, here's what's up, and then I'm going to get into what is very, very critical. There's an article that
I posted. Before you do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
And back to what you were saying. When you were reading, when President Trump was talking, he was talking about the situation in Venezuela and stuff like that. I told you the first thing that I started listening to was the anger.
Yeah.
Because the way he was talking and the plight of those people down there. But the other thing that I started thinking about is, do they not realize that that is a picture of the United States in a very short period of time?
Sure.
And if the attitude is what you just heard about with Trump,
What do you think the attitude of the world's going to be when they hear the plight of the American people suffering exactly what he was describing the Venezuelans were suffering?
Yep. There will, Keith, exactly. They will, see, one of the things that this system creates is that it creates in you the personality to become what you had to endure.
Cult of personality.
You call it justice. What's that, Scotty?
I say the cult of personality by Living Color. That's one of my favorite videos, man. You know, I'm not a rock fan, but, you know, I like those brothers, you know, style of rock. But cult of personality, check that out. You know, yesterday he was also, Donald Trump was also talking about, and the Department of Homeland Security was talking about the unprecedented levels of migrants coming across the U.S. said that they're apprehending up to 4,000 a day, something like that. And he's saying it's an invasion. It's a real crisis. But this is the thing. And also, again, in case y'all haven't noticed, I do not like the mainstream media because they're a bunch of liars and propagandists who get paid millions of dollars to shape our reality. That's not really what's going on. But none of them is pointing out the fact that, wait a minute, didn't the last administration just back a military coup in Honduras? And isn't that government going around assassinating activists and you know, indigenous human rights activists and land reformers, you know, and also look at what's going on in Nicaragua. They threatening Nicaragua. Don't think they ain't already been meddling in Nicaragua just cause we ain't heard about it yet. And then you look at Venezuela. Right. Why is the reason all them people leaving Venezuela? You know, don't it got something to do with them sanctions and stuff? Didn't you sabotage their economy? And now you're saying they're streaming across these different borders and whatnot. Well, you created it. You created it.
Yep.
When are you going to take responsibility that your meddling has destabilized these nations? And you created this is, what would I call this? This isn't like natural migration. You know, this is forced migration.
Right, right. This is fleeing. People are fleeing the imperial colonizing control that the U.S. has had over that area. And then once they start to, that comes into question and lose it, what do? They bring the pain. This is nothing more than an attack. There's a great article, and I want to read this to you, of the expanding global footprint of U.S. special operations.
It's that expanding?
The expanding global footprint of U.S. special operations. Here it is. With the possible U.S. Military withdrawal from Syria in the news on a daily basis, the mainstream media has been quick to patronize the DOD's claim that 2,000 troops, mostly special operation forces, are to be withdrawn from the country. Although the total number of U.S. special operations deployed to Syria, and they were talking about in Syria, may have been approached as many as 5,000, the current headlines do not mention that the United States has special operation units deployed not just in Syria, but in a majority of the nations around the world. Over the past 17 years, the force at the disposal of the U.S. Special Operation Command, SOCOM, has grown exponentially, more than doubling in the size and number, with a budget that has also expanded fourfold in that same period of time.
And what period of time is this?
What did I say, Keith? I don't know, whatever that period of time it was. So it was the period of time, 17, past 17 years.
Yeah, because, and the reason why I asked is, I wonder, that's the expansion you talked about, is that still taking place now?
Yes, without a doubt. So, Keith Cass, here it is. Over the past 17 years, the force at the disposal of the Special Operations Command, SOCOM, has grown exponentially, more than doubling in size, with a budget that has expanded fourfold in that same period of time. If U.S. SOS Special Forces troops do pull out of Syria, they will still have a physical presence in over 70 nations on any given day. Although the public has often a vague and incomplete unofficial explanation of the reasons behind this deployment, the Pentagon seems totally unwilling to explain the national defense rationale or legalities of these missions to anyone, including, including the United States Congress or the White House. Not only has SOCOM expanded in numbers, funding, and weaponry since 2001 at the advent of the global war on terrorism, but has acquired no small amount of political influence as well. Here's what's so significant about this whole thing. Oh, wait, let me finish. The U.S. Operation Forces has become the darling of the military, praised by Congress, the White House, and the media. They have willingly adopted a methodology that has formulated and propagandized by Hollywood on many levels. The U.S. public seems to worship the new class of soldiers, while having little to no understanding of exactly what they're doing or the concepts or how their actions might aid or hinder the national security. An act has even been proposed by one state representative to afford special income tax breaks to all special forces members.
So basically what you're saying is they are reveling in what is basically becoming a military state, because they don't know what the military is doing, why they're doing it, who they're getting orders from with nothing else. It's not them, but they relish in it. So you're looking at a military that makes its own decisions to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. Period. Not answerable to nobody.
You're under martial law.
But this, wait. But are they talking about domestically, or are they talking about in foreign lands?
No. The totality of this is international, right? Domestic and international, the impact of this. See, they're developing the worship state of the military, because the military is see, they set that whole thing up is start of the nationalism. This is how you start to have where the overall military makes the decision for the countries, and that's what you have. You're under martial law, don't even really know it. And it's not being brought to everyone in that paradigm, because the influence of that is moving into a state. There's a caller that we have in clue. Go ahead, caller.
This is Brother David. The military now is starting to go totally atomic, with everything is done by robots. That means they're going to give them the ability to make life and death decisions based on programming. We have to wake up. They don't have enough people, so they're creating machines that they think will be efficient enough to kill. They don't need compassion. They don't need empathy. They need to follow orders. And this technology is on the verge of breaking out. So that gives you a better clarity of total country control based on the atomic ability to control robots. Yes, that's exactly what they're thinking.
I mean, drones are basically robots that fly.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They basically are. And Scotty and Brother Davis is absolutely right. That technology. But what they're doing in this is the special operations See, they're playing on everybody's mind. Special forces, special operations. They're having all of this propagandized through Hollywood and everything else. You're seeing it on every commercial. You're seeing it at every sporting event. You're seeing where people, right now, everybody always talks about, here's this, Keith, how about this? How many of you heard this? Every time you go somewhere, if they know that you're a military vet, and what has everybody's been trained to say?
Thank you for your service.
How many times have you heard that? This is the indoctrination of Nazism.
You know what I tell them, Dave? I say, what you think? You know what I tell them when somebody tell me that? Thank you for your service. I'm like, what you thanking me for? I didn't do it for you. I did it for the GI Bill. I'm just keeping it real.
And you know, it's guy, because I did the same thing. It's because you're trying to get to people to wake up. You're in a catatonic state. You're comatose to everything. Companies are requiring their employees, when they come across a veteran, to say what? Thank you for your service. Why are they doing that? They're doing that because pretty soon they're going to be killing your daughters. They need you to be a willing participant in that. And it doesn't get better from here. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick back up from here. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. In between, Pastor Keith playing his video game. How many people you kill on that video game, on that drone there, Pastor Keith? Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. So it's all being set up, this nationalism, this worship of it. And this isn't the first time we covered this here, but it's really, really expanded. And see, they have it as special forces, because what does that make you? What does that make you think when you hear the word special forces? That makes you think that you're better than somebody else. It's a psychological thing.
They've always had that.
Of course.
They're indoctrinated with it.
Of course, it's necessary.
Yeah, but even the rivalries between the different branches of the military. You know, the Army may not like Marines because they stupid, dumb jarheads who only needed a low score on the ASVAB to even get in the service, you know. And then, you know, the Air Force, our accommodations, our living quarters are better than y'all. Look at our mess halls, too. Look at that crap y'all eating in. I mean, yeah, it's rivalry even within the military.
Divide people and you conquer them all. So, here's...
Yeah, and what you were talking about, Scotty's exactly right, but what you were talking about, I believe what you were talking about is even farther than that, because there definitely is that competition between the branches. I know I was in freedom. But even more so in light, what you were talking about was once you're in the Army, you know, Army Rangers, we are better than the Army. You know, when you start looking at the Navy SEALs, we are better than the Navy.
Or Rangers are better than Green Beret and what have you. Or, man, what was my cousin was... Airborne, you know, units and what have you is better than regular grunts.
Yeah, exactly.
And then not only that, this is all subliminal messages that is the overall method of control of people, and it's done everywhere.
Divide and conquer.
Divide the people and you conquer them all. Okay, now, back to this article. Listen to this. Amidst all of the praise about the prowess and success on the battlefield, the media purposely steers clear of reports of reporting on the many failures. Although the United States has built the largest force of special operations in the world, this this very fact has arguably proven to be its only, this very fact has arguably been proven to have only weakened the U.S. military as a whole. The White House, State Department, and Pentagon has increasingly relied on special forces to bear the brunt of any and all military operations or covert actions in both acknowledged and secret areas of conflict across the globe. The only emphasis on special operations as a military solution to all challenges has only weakened traditional conventional forces. So, this is, once again, is all purposely done. While most of the public assumes that these new Spartans act to protect the U.S. interests and freedom and democracy, however, and wherever it is deemed necessary, they have little to no understanding how special forces has changed since 2001, nor the increasing military and political influence that they now hold. Even fewer Americans have stopped to ponder the legality of much of what this expanding military force is doing on a global scale, not to mention the constitutional implications of this new praetorian class in the midst that is growing in power and influence. If history teaches us anything, it is that shadowy and unaccountable paramilitary forces do not strengthen societies that embraces democracy nor constitutional governments. Let me read that one more time to you. So important, what was said there. Even fewer Americans have stopped to ponder the legalities of much of what the expanding military force is doing on a global scale. But see, what did Trump say yesterday? Russia, get out of Venezuela.
Most people don't care.
But you all over the world.
Most people don't care. They don't. You know, and in the past, we've compared it to the falling Roman Empire, which was taken out by high taxation, tax evasion, and all of these different wars. And what would they do to distract the people? You know, they have gladiator fights at the Colosseum and whatnot. Yep. And now these little military skirmishes, like we're in Syria, are in Syria preparing, you know, like you said, they all over the place. And the American public, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, and especially the way the media presents it, it's just gladiator games. It's entertainment. That's why CNN started embedding troops, you know, reporters with troops with these little helmet cams on and they behind the lines and all. That's all for entertainment.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because there's much watch TV. And when you watch TV and you watch this, what do? You devalue your moral absolute and you start to sell out to someone else's agenda. You compromise your moral absolute for someone else's agenda.
Can I add, if you notice that now they opened up for betting on every sport, on every level, even in their visual statistics. So they have a means for what they do, but it's all to keep your attention off what they're doing.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I saw that was so disturbing to me was I saw at Little League games, Pop Warner games, they start the indoctrination right away. This is why you have the overall so-called national anthem and everything else. What's the difference between the national anthem of when the Nazis were doing it, and what's the difference between the U.S. one? Because they both had I would say this. The U.S. nationalism was, they perfected it over Nazi Germany. They perfected it over Germany.
Look, Dave, in Mein Kampf, the United States was an inspiration for the Nazis, and you know, we ain't even got to get into the U.S. citizens that were supporting the Nazis early on and what have you. We ain't got to get into that history, but I mean, in Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler gave a shout out to the United States. They were sending members of their party over here to study the eugenics program, you know, sterilization of black people and people with, you know, handicaps or deemed mentally defeat. All of that was going on here in the United States, you know, before the Nazis. And again, Hitler gave them a shout out, man, and their Nuremberg race laws was based on Jim Crow laws, man. And so, I've asked this before on Tando. Since when did the Nazi party become the standard bearer of evil when they was only in power a very short term? And then they learned from the United States.
Yep. That was the point I was made this guy. Exactly. The Nazis, the U.S. perfected this stuff. The Nazis, they weren't even there long. They weren't there long. One part of this article, very, very important. Hear this. Even fewer Americans have stopped to ponder the legalities of much of what the expanding military force is doing on a global scale. But what they're doing is they're indoctrinating you to support that even more and more and more. They even got you to say God, country, and family. They got you to put God, family, and country as your allegiance. It's crazy. Not to mention, hold on, Keith. Not to mention the constitutional implications of this new Praetorian class and the myth that is growing in power and influence. If history teaches us anything, it is that shadowy and unaccountable paramilitary forces do not strengthen societies that embrace democracy or constitutional government.
Well, I guess the opposite. But the other thing that's interesting that you said that I find so interesting is what you were talking about.
Hey, Dave, can you take the line? Because we're getting a lot of feedback. We're getting a lot of feedback. Can't hear.
For one second. Let me check the line real quick. Hold on. I see Roz and Brother Davis is there. Hold on. Let me mute you real quick, and then I'm going to come back to you guys. Roz, I see you there. We'll be right back. And Brother Davis, so we won't have the lines. Go ahead, Keith.
I thought what was interesting, some of the other things that you talked about, is as you get on me all the time for playing games. Well, the games that I play, none of them are war games.
No, I know that.
But the reason why I bring that up is because those are by far the most popular
games
out there.
They are. Yeah.
But what people don't know is it's the military that put those games out.
Sure.
So all these war games that are being directed to these kids these days, those aren't companies that are doing it. That's the military that has
to desensitize the killing for the drones and everything else.
Glorifying the AI.
Well, guys, I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with you. I'm a PUBG mobile gamer, okay? And it is a war game, and it's kind of realistic. And you can communicate with your fellow teammate members. You can go solo, you can go duo, or you could go a squad. And I'm telling you, man, I can tell when some of the other players I'm playing with got military experience by the way we be talking to each other. And telling each other, watch the right flank, watch the left flank, watch the six.
The
shots are being fired from northwest 30 degrees. And you know what I'm saying? And to me, that's like real life training, man, that a lot of us need for if the stuff
totally
hits the fan. But I understand y'all context. I just wanted to say that I do use it.
There is another context to it all. And people need to cover and concealment, Keith. You know, some of the basic tactics.
Yeah, shoot, move, and communicate.
Yeah. It's a lot of in the content that you're bringing in, Scott. There is, you know, there's a lot of things that is not just one way. You know, it's a multifaceted world, and you got to know. And training is major, and we don't have a lot of it. And we rely on too many people rely on too few people that may have some experience with things, and that makes us, you know, extremely vulnerable. So real quick, let me go to those other callers real quick, and then I know. Let me just say this: Keith plays those games to. But he don't play those war games. But some of them, I used to play. You know, it's been a while. I'm a man. last games, I used to play Metal Gear Solid. You know what I mean? So, but some of the things now, they've got some real, real followings. But let me go to these callers real quick before we get out of here. We go to Raj and then Brother Davis. Raj, did you want to sound off on something? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Peace to you, Brother Scotty, to you, Brother Dave, Pastor Brother Keith, all the callers and listeners, and also Brother and Sister Davis, too. Great conversation. Yeah, they do use, I don't play those games, I know, or at least not with other people online. I play some military-based games here, but on the old system. But Jenna sometimes will play, and they have those kind of conversations. You know, they talk about slicing the pie and all that kind of stuff. And it gets heavy. And interesting, what Scott was talking about was Bread and Circus, huh?
No, slice in the pie. But go ahead, Raj. No, you good.
Oh, okay. I was saying what Scotty was talking about was Bread and Circus. That's what they called it. You know, they'll have you distracted with, you know, welfare programs and with, like you said, yes, the Gladiator Ring, which is now the television and Empire and all the other BS world star hip hop that we all get caught up in, while they're making decisions that are going to take, that have already taken us over the precipice of disaster. We just haven't hit rock bottom yet. So that is so accurate. And I was funny, I was watching something, I mean listening to a program on YouTube, this brother Lance Gerv, and he had a sister who was talking about some things that I thought was important, because she said some things that you talked about. She said that Black Americans need to make a network throughout all 50 states. And if you can, some of you make inroads with people in other countries. And she was talking about this dissension between Black Americans and other Black people who are not Black Americans, with all this ADOS conversation and how detrimental it is to the survival of Black Americans due to what America has in store for Black people. So she talked about building a wall and the fact that, of course, the wall is pretty much going to keep you in, not keep the outsiders out. She talked about laws that Obama signed executive orders that he put through that gave the president sole control over all water, including rainwater. So, like, they can go to average citizens and take your water from you if you have saved it. He also gave presidents control over heirloom seeds, so they can actually go and take your seeds from you. Like, she was just breaking down all of these different things and the fact that Black people are pretty much being isolated in the United States. And when things hit the fan, of course, the most abused people are going to be the most abused people, which are Black people. And that this ideology of, and she said she found it very interesting that all of these things are happening to collapse the United States as we know it, and at the same time, there's this movement cultivated to completely distance Black Americans from other Black people. So she's, and I add to it the removal of radio, terrestrial radio, and pretty much Black radio in general in the United States is so, there's so few of these outlets available, and these were vital to the survival of Black people in the most crucial moments in American history. And now everybody, including Black Talk Radio Network, is struggling just to, you know, keep their outlets going. Then you have the destruction of Black literature. There are no Black bookstores anywhere in the United States. They just started taking off on Amazon. They're removing all information about the Jewish involvement in the slave trade, specifically the books done by the Nation of Islam that deal with that topic, where they actually take the information directly from Jewish historians talking about their involvement as the major merchants in the global African slave trade, and they removed all of that, but yet they allow the sale of child sex dolls. So this is all the stuff that's taking place while we're arguing about who's from America, who's not from America, and all the other, you know, ideological, tribalistic nonsense that we indulge in that keeps us separate, while there's a bigger picture here, because when you study what was done to the Jews, it was the same thing that happened to them. They took the guns away. They destroyed books. They started to reduce access to literature, to radio. Radio became the tool of propaganda, just like it did between the Hutu and the Tutsi in Rwanda. This is what we're seeing happening, but very few people are paying attention to all of this stuff taking place, as well as the setup for the global collapse. Very, very something for us to think about how we're being isolated within the confines of the hemispheric United States, And at the same time, the minds of our people are being cultivated toward against unity with any other group outside the country that we might be able to make inroads with. And I just posted an article on BTR today that discussed that the queen of the Gullah Geechee Nation down in South Carolina on the islands there is making connections with Barbados, because there's a direct history there with the slaves that were transported from Barbados to that region. And that is a positive, because at least somebody's thinking outside the box, and there's many of us that do, that understand the importance of us making connections within the country, because this is a big country, and also outside of the country, in case some of us are able to skate up out of here if we need to, if things get to that point. But just see that, see what's happening to us, look at the history of what happened to the Jews, and understand that we're in the same situation which Dr. Wilson so eloquently predicted. With that, I'll mute myself. Thank you very much, good brothers.
Okay, hey, well said, Raj. We gotta get ready to get out of here.
Let me say one thing else in line with what that brother was saying, though, that at present, he said those islands that were right off the coast, that they are actively taking possession of those islands from those people also, which is right in line with what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But the United States is actively taking possessions of those islands also.
Yeah, that's I've actually interviewed some of those people. It's been a year or two since I talked to Reginald, I forget his last name right now. But anyway, you know, they were creating nonprofits and stuff, land foundations to try to protect their land. But it was really the real estate governments being assisted by the state of Georgia to you know, raise taxes and try to tax, you know what I'm saying, price them out that way. But then you also had a guy who is from that community but disconnected from the community. He's living in New York. That's where he was raised up north, and he wasn't raised where his parents were from and what have you. And he's been going to some of the elders and talking them into, you know, selling off of their land, you know, piece and parcel and what have you. And that's just, man, that's the ultimate betrayal of your ancestors, man, you know?
Yeah. It
hey, but you still had another call from Brother Davis, I think, wanted to chime in. I don't know if you forgot about him.
No, let me, real quick. Oh, shoot. Let me, yeah, real quick. Let me unmute Brother Davis. One second. Brother Davis, did you
want to
chime in before we get on?
Yes, I did. The islands that he's talking about are the Gullah people, the land of the Gullah people. If you go online, look up the land of the Gullah people, the story's on there, because it's two or three different perspectives.
Yeah, it also, Brother Davis, it's Sapelo Islands.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. Plus, I wanted to add this here for a caveat for you to think about. 2 days ago, I was reading the Communist Manifesto and the 10 principles, and 9 of those principles are alive right now in America. And first, give you an example, central banking is a principle of communism. We are actually being taken over for a specific purpose. Wake up, because it ain't like you got a lot of time here. I just wanted to add that.
Well said, brother. And you know, before we get out of here, it's really the demise of and how this whole thing is going to move into a confrontation. The U.S. is saying, Trump's administration is saying, Russia, get out of Venezuela, while you're in 70 nations around the world. And those 70 nations around the world don't want you there, many of them now. And they're there in Venezuela because now they can actually go to Venezuela and beg themselves there, because they can defend themselves there. They know that they're in the overall backyard of the United States, and the critical strategical importance that history tells us that Venezuela is to this whole overall controlling factor that the U.S. have in presence. It's oil. And they're cutting that off because it's slowly, and it's going to turn into a all-out confrontation that the people that will, it will be a rich man's war for poor man's blood. And that's how this thing is going, and you need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. So All right, everyone. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.